Good afternoon. Everyone can be seated. This is case number 3994-1013-CR, State of Vermont versus Anthony Scalini. Representing the state is Emerson McHenry. The defendant is here in person and by counsel Pauline Jefferson.
Judge, for the purposes of this hearing, I just ask that my client's hands be unshackled so that he can write, and I can pay attention to what's going on. But I need him to be able to write so I can read the input he has without listening in one ear and listening to Mr. McHenry in the other ear.
Officer, do you have reason to believe that Mr. Scalini presents a security risk in the courtroom right now based upon your experience with him?
No.
All right, then.
We haven't had long enough to know.
Okay, and during the time that he's been in your custody, has he been disruptive at all?
No.
Okay, and so I would ask that he be uncuffed at this time.
Both hands or just the right one?
I think his writing hand should be sufficient. Is that okay with you, Miss Jefferson?
That would be fine, Judge. I just need to have his input, that's all.
That's understood. That's fine. Are you ready to proceed, Mr. McHenry?
Yes, Your Honor. Thank you. The state would call Lieutenant Heller.
Lieutenant Heller, please raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm under the penalties of perjury to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Please be seated. Good afternoon. If you could just keep your voice up for the recording and also for me.
Sure.
Thank you.
Madam, please state your name and spell your last name for the record.
Margaret Heller, H-E-L-L-E-R.
And how are you employed?
City of Williston police officer.
And how long have you been a police officer with the City of Williston?
30 years.
And are you certified by the Vermont Training Council?
I am.
Okay. I'm going to direct your attention to September the 24th. Were you on duty as a Williston police officer at the Williston Police Department on September 24th?
Yes.
And what was your shift that day?
I come in around 4 and I stay till 4 or 5-ish.
And what is your title on that shift, if any?
I'm the officer in charge.
And what do those duties entail?
I'm responsible for all law enforcement, for deployment, for making decisions relative to the daily activities for assigning.
At some point during your shift on September the 24th, were you approached by Officer Steve Dundy?
Yes.
Were you approached by any other officer and Lieutenant Heller, correct me if I'm wrong, is it Corporal Dundy?
Corporal Dundy, yes.
Were you approached by Corporal Dundy?
I was.
Was anybody with Corporal Dundy?
Not at that time.
And where did Corporal Dundy approach you?
I was eating dinner at the roll call room, which is in the main part of the building.
And why did Corporal Dundy approach you?
He asked if he could speak to me privately. We walked across the hall into a private office. It's the identification area. We went into that office.
And did anybody else join you?
Officer Scalini was already there.
And who is Officer Scalini?
She is an officer who's been with the Williston probably around a year. She came from Oklahoma and just hired on with us.
And what was discussed in that room?
The initial conversation from Corporal Dundy was that he had something that he hoped we could keep confidential. And then he said, we're not going to be able to keep this confidential. And then he just said outright that he and Officer Scalini had an affair and that he had just received a extremely threatening phone call from, I didn't know his name at the time, but her husband, now who I know to be Anthony Scalini.
And did Corporal Dundy elaborate about the message he received?
He did. I don't remember the exact words he said, but I could tell he was very agitated, very nervous. He said that...
Judge, we're going to object to the hearsay nature of the testimony. Officer Dundy is going to testify. He can testify as to what he told.
That's fine. I'll go on.
Okay.
As a result of what Officer Dundy said to you, what did you do?
I spoke to Officer Scalini. She filled me in briefly on the, marital background, Then I just took a moment to gather my thoughts, and then I said, all right, give me a few minutes. I left the room, I made a couple of phone calls, and then I sort of devised a plan.
I want to stop you right there, Lieutenant Heller. Who did you call?
Called my boss, Chief Scherer, Mike Scherer.
And why did you do that?
It's essentially his show. He's in charge, and a situation like this needs to be addressed with him.
When you say a situation like this, how would you define the situation?
Two of his officers are involved in a situation that has some dangerous implications. I have to backstep here a little bit. I had known that there was that Scalinis have a 2-year-old daughter, that she, at the time that this weapon was discharged, was at the house with Mr. Scalini, and that there was some pretty substantial danger involved in what was going on. So he needed to know because it's, again, I repeat, it's his show, and he has to...
Who else did you call?
When I was talking to the chief, because this incident was occurring in Essex on Maple Way, we decided that I would call Acting Chief Bradley Lafredo at Essex and apprise him of the situation, and then in conjunction with him, we'd come up with a strategy for how to deal with this.
And what was the strategy?
It took probably maybe 10 minutes before Chief Lafredo called me back. And then we talked about, I said that my druthers, although it was completely his prerogative to dismiss it, was that I felt I was pretty good at negotiating with people. That if I could get Anthony on the phone, I might be able to bring this thing to a peaceful resolution.
Lieutenant Heller, what were you trying to negotiate?
Well, I have to backtrack a little bit, if I can. There was one text that I was aware of. I didn't see it, but I was told that Anthony had said something, or Mr. Scalini had said something to Officer Scalini, that I hope Gigi chokes on my blood after I kill myself, or something, you know, words to that effect. So that adds another level of severity to this. So my plan was that if I could get conversation with Mr. Scalini, that I could first determine that the baby was all right, and then make sure that he was, you know, going to talk to us, come out, maybe present himself to us, so that we could deal with this.
What was your overriding concern here?
At the moment, it was the baby in the house with this man who had just let off a couple rounds.
What steps, if any, did you take to prepare internally at WPD?
Well, at that moment it was, there weren't internal preparations. They were mostly in conjunction with Lieutenant Beauregard in Essex PD.
At some point in time, did that plan change?
Well, if you're referring to him leaving the house and coming here, that's what happened.
So you, is it fair to say that you learned that Mr. Scalini was en route to WPD?
Correct.
And as a result of learning that information, what did you do?
I spoke to Officer Scalini, and she said he usually brings the baby to the park side on the south side of the building, where Battery Park is. I wasn't exactly sure of the time frame when the cabbie picked up, so I walked down to the south side of the building, but didn't see anybody there. And as I was on the walking back on the south sidewalk, adjacent to the police department...
I want to stop you right there. Prior to walking outside, did you inquire of weapons?
Yes, I did.
Who did you inquire of weapons to?
I asked Officer Scalini.
What did you specifically ask her?
I asked her if he had any weapons. She said there's lots of weapons in the house, both long guns and handguns, and that he always carried a Glock.
Okay. Was it then that you went outside?
Yes.
And who were you looking for?
I was looking for a cab. It was, I knew specifically it was a Fenway's cab, because that's what I heard from Essex, that Fenway's cab had picked him up with the baby, and they were en route to WPD.
And at some point in time, did you see a Fenway cab?
I did.
And tell us what happened next.
It didn't pull into the yard, into our police lot. It parked just north. I saw from a distance. Officer Scalini had described what Anthony looked like. I saw what could have been that Anthony Scalini getting out of the cab, bent over the back seat, you know, and then he took the baby, put her over his shoulder, and then walked into the parking lot towards their truck.
And what happened next?
As he rounded the corner, I walked up, and I stood at the back end of the truck, and I hollered out, "Anthony, it's Margaret." And he said, "I'm coming to see you."
And at any point in time prior to this, Lieutenant Heller, had you sent Anthony a text message yourself?
I did.
And how did you obtain his number?
From Officer Scalini.
And what was the content of the text message that you sent Anthony Scalini?
It was, I introduced myself as Margaret Heller. I made two phone calls too. I introduced myself as Margaret Heller. I said I was a lieutenant. I was the officer in charge for that day. And in one of the texts I said, I think I can help. Give me a call.
What were you trying to help with?
Trying to appease the situation. Make it so that, you know, if he is angry, if he is anxious, that if he talks to me, my point was to make sure that the baby was safe overall.
Okay. And what was the condition of the baby when you saw...
Asleep.
Mr. Scalini. Okay. And did you recognize the vehicle that Mr. Scalini put the baby in?
Yes.
And whose vehicle did you recognize that as?
I had asked, actually earlier, what kind of car he would be driving. She said, well, they only have the one truck, and she had it. He traveled by cab whenever, so it was, I know. I've seen Mr. Scalini drop Shannon off in that truck, and I've seen her come to work in that truck that was parked in our lot.
And after putting the baby into the truck, what happened next?
He said, I have a gun.
Let me stop you right there. How far away were you from Mr. Scalini?
I'm not sure the type of truck, but he was in a cab door, I guess. He was putting the baby in the back seat, and I was the full length of the truck, so maybe 6 to 10 feet, if that.
And did you observe Mr. Scalini holding anything?
He had a satchel about foot by a foot square, I guess.
At that point in time, did you know that what was in that bag?
No, I didn't. Excuse me.
And what was in your mind at this particular time? What was your goal?
Right then, I'm going to secure the weapon. I want to make sure I can get the gun from him, and I can, and the baby is fine.
Let me take you right through that. So would you agree that in terms of that goal of the baby being fine, once the baby is in the truck, did you consider the baby to be fine?
No.
Okay. So tell me how you were going about to accomplish taking care of the baby.
Once we established that he acknowledged that he had a gun, I said, I don't know, something like, we're going to take it from you. And he said, okay. And I said, put your hands on your head. He put them right on the top of his head. He told me it was his, I'm sorry, he told me it was in his front waistband. I reached over, took it. He stood over to the right, and I sort of got myself in between Mr. Scalini and the truck where the baby was sitting.
Were you concerned that Mr. Scalini would do something to the child?
I didn't know. I didn't know him. I didn't know anything about him. I know that this is a man who fired off 2 rounds and was probably angry.
Describe the gun that you took from Mr. Scalini's waistband.
It's a Glock.
What's a Glock?
It's a .40 caliber. Well, it could be any caliber, I guess. It's, you know, shoots many rounds.
Was it loaded?
Yes.
What did you do when you obtained the gun?
I put it in my waistband, in the back of my duty belt, here. Stuck it in my back. And then Reserve Officer Chris Bean was just pulling out of the lot to go on an assignment. and I motioned for him to come over, and I asked him to just stand there with Mr. Scalini.
I'm going to stop you right there. What's in your mind that made you pull another officer over to Mr. Scalini, not to leave Mr. Scalini alone?
I have no idea what his mental attitude is. I have no idea. He's a solid man.
Solid physically speaking,
yeah,
or mentally speaking?
And I know physically. And I know he is a former police officer. I'm doing my best to be as charming as I can with him, just so that he is disarmed. I mean, so his level of anxiety is lessened. But I want to make sure that nothing happens while I take the baby out of the truck and take her inside.
So you ask Officer Bean to come over and to stand. What is your specific instructions to Officer Bean?
I think I said, would you mind standing here with... I think I introduced him as Anthony, with Anthony while I run inside. And I was again trying to keep it at a calm attitude. Now, once I get the baby inside, I can come back out.
And you take the baby out of the truck and bring the baby inside.
Right.
Who do you bring the baby to?
Officer Scalini, her mother.
What do you do next?
I had asked Mr. Scalini if there were any other weapons, and he said he didn't have any others. He said there's ammo, and there's a magazine in the... It turned out to be a camera bag. So I took that when I took the baby into the station and brought the bag in and gave...
Let me stop you right there. Was this the same bag that you saw Mr. Scalini carrying when he exited the cab?
It was.
And when you brought the bag inside, describe what you saw. Describe the contents inside the bag.
There was a potential that there could have been another weapon, a smaller 9mm. I forget what make it was, so I opened up the bag, and inside the bag was a camera, several boxes of 40 caliber rounds. I believe there were 40 caliber rounds, and a half a dozen magazines, maybe, for the Glock.
And how many bullets, generally, does a magazine have?
I'm not sure what size that one was, but mine has 15.
Well, to the best of your knowledge, was all the ammunition in the bag, or would it be for the Glock?
Yes, I believe there was a box of 223 rounds there, but I can't be certain.
What are those?
It's another type of bullet that fits a rifle.
Judge, I'd like to mark this photo as Plaintiff's Exhibit 1.
Ms. Jefferson, do you have any objection to this?
No, Your Honor.
Exhibit 1 is admitted.
Okay. When you saw that, what did you think at that moment in time when you saw that ammunition?
Well, I'm trying to think rapidly, but I know that at that point in time, why did someone bring a gun?
Judge, we're going to object to the speculation on part of the officer.
Would you repeat the question, please?
When you saw the contents of the bag, what was he thinking?
Sustained.
In that case, no more questions, Your Honor.
Cross, Ms. Jefferson.
Just briefly, Your Honor. Lieutenant Heller, this all happened on the 24th of September, is that correct?
Yes.
And that night in question, the 24th or maybe early morning hours of the 25th, you didn't arrest Anthony?
No.
And he was cooperative with you throughout the evening?
Yes.
The 20 or 30 minutes you were with him?
Yes.
And you had sent him a text or called him to say, I want to talk to you, or something of that nature?
Yes.
And he took a cab to the WPD?
Yes.
And he indicated to you that he was there to talk to you?
Yes.
Okay. He didn't say that he came to hurt Officer Dundee or anything of that nature.
No, he did not say that.
Okay. And apparently, he went to WPD in response to your indication you wanted to talk to him in your text or phone call or whatever it was.
I guess, yes.
Okay. And he took a cab there?
Yes.
Okay. And when you first talked to him, he said, I've come to see you.
Yes.
Okay. He didn't say that he was there to see Officer Dundee.
He said he was there to see you in response to your call, basically.
Yes.
Okay. He told you he volunteered that he had a gun.
Yes.
And he didn't offer any resistance or any aggression towards you.
No.
As a matter of fact, you told him to put his hands on his head, and he put his hands on his head and said, "The gun's in my belt." Isn't that true?
Yes.
Okay. And was completely cooperative with you?
Yes.
And he was just basically complying with your request?
Yes.
And there's nothing illegal about having guns in Vermont?
No.
Did he tell you he had come there too, or he just basically wanted to make an impression on Officer Dundee?
He had not. He didn't tell me he came there to make an impression.
And have you done a records check?
I have not.
And you didn't arrest him that night?
Correct.
What you're describing is, you indicated that when he first discovered the affair, he was angry. Is that correct?
Yes.
And then he had some catharsis or whatever, and he seemed to be over it.
Judge, I'm going to object to the term, "seemed to be over it." If Mr. Jefferson can, or Ms. Jefferson can specify?
Oh, he's...
Being over what?
He's testified that he seemed to calm down. He was angry in the beginning and then basically had a moment and was over his anger.
Well, if Ms. Jefferson is suggesting he's over the affair or over the anger over the affair?
I think what you're both talking about is a point of argument. And so that if you want to ask him questions regarding his effect and what he displayed while he was talking about having these moments of catharsism, to make that point during argument, I think that's fair.
Okay.
I'll allow that.
All right. At no point was there any anger directed towards you or on the part of Anthony at that point in your 20 to 30 minutes talking to him?
Anger directed at me?
Correct.
No.
Anger directed at anyone?
Spoke about anger directed at someone, but no, there was nobody there to whom he could direct his anger, because there was nobody there involved in what caused his anger.
Did he say something to you about being angry and then calming down?
Yeah.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I've been advised that there's an urgent matter I must attend to. We will take a 15-minute recess.